Okay, everybody, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome everybody to our latest Tard Wealth Management stock market and economic call. I'd also like to wish everybody a very happy and a healthy new year. Well, as you all know, the reason why we're holding this call is because of the volatility that we've seen in the market over the past couple of weeks. As I was preparing my notes over the weekend for the call, I thought maybe the easiest thing to do was just to go ahead and hit the replay button from our last call on August the 24th, because the reality is not a whole lot has changed since then. Certainly, the day we held that call was very different than today. I don't know if anybody remembers, but the day we held that call on that Monday, the Dow Jones opened about 1,000 points down. It ended up clawing back a little bit during the day, but it was a very, very bad day for the market. Today is very, very different. It's been somewhat stable. The markets have been oscillating between being up and down a little bit today, but certainly the market action over the last almost 5 months has really not changed at all. Virtually everything that I said on that call on August the 24th is still pretty much effective and workable for what we're seeing right now. We continue to deal with a very complex and unstable market. The markets have been relatively flat to now slightly down over the past 14 months or so. It's been more than a year since we've seen this kind of sideways action. And now over the last week or so, we've been obviously leaning a little bit more towards the downside. But the underpinnings of the market, which is something I alluded to back at the end of August, has remained weak. On that August call, I said at the time that it would be reasonable to assume that we would see a bounce in the market. We got it. It was a much bigger bounce than I thought we were going to get, but we got a pretty big bounce in the market during that following month. And then November and beginning of December was kind of flattish, and then we really ended the year with a thud. So, you know, what we're seeing right now, as I said before, a very complex and unstable market. I'm going to go over some of the pros and the cons that we're seeing out there right now in the market and the economy, and then we'll talk about where I think we might be going from here and what we as a firm are going to be doing and have been doing, and then we'll open it up to Q&A. So some of the things that we see out there right now as a con, something that we're watching very closely. Obviously, China has made a lot of the headlines in the news. I don't think that what we've been seeing over the past several weeks has been a direct result of what is happening in China. I think China is one problem that we're dealing with is a worldwide economy, but that's not the only problem that we're seeing. So we do have a slowing China. We certainly have an aging bull market. We've talked about this for the past couple of years now, that bull markets don't go on forever. This has been one of the longest, most sustained, most dramatic bull markets we have seen in our market's history. So we certainly have an aging bull market. We have corporate earnings that have been coming in relatively soft over the past 6 to 9 months. We also see other areas of the market that have been weak for a year, and this is what I've really been talking a lot about for really the past 9 to 12 months, and this is what I harped on a lot during our call in August, and it all still remains the same today, that a majority of the stocks that are trading in a negative pattern. Many of them are down. You have thousands of stocks that are traded that are not just down over the past couple of weeks and couple of months, but they are in bear market territory. Many of them are down more than 20% from their all-time highs. And I'm talking thousands of stocks. So the general performance of the overall stock market, not just the Dow and the S&P that only represent a handful of stocks, but the overall market conditions have been weak and deteriorating for quite some time. So what we've seen over the last year are transportation stocks down double digits. We have small cap stocks. Now, last year was their worst year since 2008. They were only down about 5, 6%, but it was a very weak year for small caps. And small caps represent a much bigger part of the overall market because there are a lot more small cap stocks out there than there are large cap stocks. We also see mid cap stocks underperforming and have been for quite some time. So we just have a general uneasiness with the overall market the exact same way we felt back towards the end of August. We are also been seeing in relation to transports and small cap stocks and mid cap stocks lagging. The commodity market has been very weak for a long time. We just see more and more risk aversion in the market. So those are some of the negatives that we see. Of course, the Federal Reserve gets a lot of press when they raised rates in December, but that was telegraphed for a long, long time. It was only 0.25%. Of course, we're also dealing with the ongoing threat of terrorism and ISIS, and then North Korea supposedly detonating their H-bomb that has created a lot of headlines as well. So, you know, there's always a lot of reasons to be negative out there. Always have been, always will be. They were out there in 2012 and 2013 when the market ended up having pretty good years. My primary concern about the market this year, though, is the overall underperformance of a majority of stocks within the indexes, because oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes that ends up spreading to the remainder of the market and eventually hits the large cap segment, and that's when you see those large indexes that you see in the news, like the Dow Jones and S&P 500, go down. But there are also some pros going on out there. The housing market is still quite strong. At the end of the day, look, we still have positive GDP growth, so that's certainly a positive too. Okay, we have low unemployment, which is a positive. Now, that's oftentimes a lagging indicator because that's old news. We want to look at what is going to be happening going forward. But at least it is a big positive that we do have low unemployment. We still have unbelievably low interest rate. And, of course, now we have very low energy prices, which it'll take a little while for that to work its way through the economy. But I know here in Georgia, most gas stations are now selling regular unleaded gas for under $2 a gallon. We haven't seen that in quite some time. So there are still some positives that are going on within the markets and within the economy in particular. So where are we right now and where are we going from a firm standpoint, and what are we doing with our clients and for our clients? As it stands right now, today, January the 11th, the market is fairly oversold. Not too different from what we saw on August 24th when I said that we could very well see a bounce. My concern about the oversold condition as it stands today is we should see some kind of bounce. But if this is the beginnings of a bear market, which again, we've been talking about it for close to a year now, but if it is the beginnings of a bear market, normally these little bounces that we see get less and less robust. So the market today is fairly oversold. We should see some kind of bounce back. If we see a bounce back of some kind and the general weakness underneath the market persists, we will be looking at taking on a little bit more defensive action. When we spoke in August, and I think I've spoken with virtually all of you anyway since then one-on-one, we talked about seeing a market bounce and getting more defensive, and we did just that in the August-September timeframe. So most of our client accounts, we reduced equity exposure anywhere from 10 to 25%. So a majority of you here, because everybody's got exceptions, are in a relatively conservative position right now. So our conservative clients are still invested conservatively. Our moderate clients, which are a majority of you, by the way, our moderate clients are those that want to have, you know, kind of a 50-60% exposure to stocks and about a 40-50% exposure to cash and bonds, taking a more middle-of-the-road approach. Our moderate clients, we are now only about 40% in equities, and the remaining 60%, for most of you, not all of you, is sitting in bonds and cash. So we did do what we said we were going to do last year. In September, we got more defensive. Our more growth-oriented clients, those that are willing to take on a little bit more risk, we generally hold 80 to 90% in equities. And right now, we're sitting at 60%. So we're fairly defensive across the board right now. And what we're looking to do, obviously, we let the evidence come to us, and then we make our decision. But the evidence out there right now is fairly weak. So we think that the next step will probably be to get a little bit more conservative as opposed to getting more aggressive. We've gotten some questions for this call from some clients. Hey, John, should we be buying now? And then I get other questions, hey, John, should we be selling now? And the truth is, for as it stands right now, given the general weakness of the overall market, I think we're leaning right now towards probably being a seller of a little bit more on the equity side. Now, something that I think all of you know on the call, we'll never go all cash or all bonds, because that in of itself creates a lot of risk for a couple of reasons. Number one, what if we're wrong? Nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody has, the keys to outrageous, wonderful stock market performance and market timing. The market is going to do everything it can to prove the greatest number of people wrong at any time. So going all cash or getting overly conservative can create a lot of risk, because if you're wrong and the market moves the other way, you're going to be very disappointed. Also, what invariably happens is, let's suppose you're right and the market goes down, it's usually only after a major upswing, 10, 20, 30%, that you will then be comfortable to get back in. So we want to practice risk management. We don't want to participate in all of the downside. Certainly so far this year, the market is down about 6% for the year. Most of our conservative clients and clients that are taking income are only down a little bit more than one. Most of our clients that are more moderate are only down a little bit more than two. And most of our clients that are more aggressive are only down a little bit more than three. So that's not bad. We can tolerate that. But again, we'll certainly be looking to even get a little bit more defensive. And what that means is that for our clients that are already conservative, probably just pull off about another 10%. Those of our clients that are moderate, probably pull off about another 10%, because you're already fairly conservative. And on our more growth-oriented clients, probably only about another 10 to 15% from our current equity position. So I would say right now, we are appropriately allocated. I'm happy we got more defensive when we did, given the start of the year. But we'll continue to watch things, obviously, in the market. We'll continue to watch our indicators, practice risk management. We're never going to be all in equities. We're never going to be all out of equities. Keep in mind one thing, that if the market were to go down 50%, and by the way, the average bear market generally goes down about 34%, and it gives up roughly 50% of the prior bull market gains. That's a typical bear market. Now, if that were to happen over the course of the next 6, 12, 18 months, and I'm not saying that is, nobody knows that answer, which is why we continue to watch our indicators, that will set up the following 5 to 8 years, no matter how depressing things might look, of having pretty good gains in the future. So market pullbacks are a part of investing. It's normal. It's part of the cycle. Unfortunately, we've had two bubbles burst in the last 15 years. We don't know if this is a third. We're only going to know in hindsight. But we've had two bursts in the last 15 years, and I know how unsettling and difficult that can be. But markets go up, they go down. It is part of the cycle, so we're here to help manage that risk and obviously do the best we can with the hand that we're dealt from Mr. and Mrs. Market. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody. I'm going to go ahead and open it up for Q&A.
Presentation mode is now disabled.
Okay, so I've gone ahead and unmuted everybody. What questions do we have out there, other than the questions I've gotten before the call about, John, should we be buying or should we be selling? Does anybody have any questions that you'd like to pose out there?
This is Holly. I've been furiously taking notes. Could you tell me again, or tell us again, what you said you're hoping for a bounce, but we could be going into a bear market. And is it at that point that you're talking about reducing our equity investment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what I was kind of hoping for, Holly, was to see a bounce this week. Hopefully the start of that was going to be today. We don't know how the market will end today. The market is flat right now. The Dow is up about 50. The S&P is down a point. So it really hasn't moved a whole lot. If if this is the beginnings of the bear, and again, let me really be very clear to everybody on the call, the bear markets don't start overnight. They don't start, you know, with one or two trading days. They take a long time to develop. It could be a year or two for market tops to begin, because you generally see erosion underneath the surface of the market that are not being reflected in the indexes, and that's what we talked about in August. And this is why I've been fairly cautious for the past 8 or 9 months. But Holly, to answer your question directly, we would be looking to get more defensive if we see a rebound this week, but a weak rebound. We would also get more defensive if the market goes the other way and we break below where we were in August, which was around the 1870 level. So that's only a few percent from where we are right now. Okay? The problem is that we are in the beginnings of a longer downturn. I don't care if we sell maybe a little bit too early. The market goes up a few percent and we miss out on that. We'll forget that in a few weeks and in a few months. So I am looking right now at making changes potentially this week or at some point over the next couple of weeks, just depending on what the market action looks like this week. But again, we're only looking at probably about another 10% because we've already gotten pretty defensive in the portfolios.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Thanks, Holly.
Sure,
what other questions do we have? More questions like that would be great. Okay, while people are strongly considering asking a question and building up that courage, let me mention one other thing to the people, to our clients that own variable annuities, which is a handful of you out there. Our variable annuities are generally going to be invested a little bit more aggressively than other portfolios, because the reason why all of you have those products to begin with is to provide peace of mind and a safety net in the event you get a market decline. So clients with variable annuities that have that safety net, we generally keep a slightly more aggressive allocation because of the fact we do have that safety net. So I just wanted to make sure I bring that to everybody's attention that's on the call.
Jonathan, I hate to mention the word, but how does this impact high-yield bonds, generally speaking?
Jim, that's a good question. High-yield bonds had a terrible year last year. I don't want to go off into a tangent here. Generally speaking, high-yield bonds, when you see market volatility, will get volatile. If the market goes down, high-yield bonds generally go down, but they generally don't go down as much as the stock market. So high-yield bonds, in a way, you can almost look at them as dividend-paying stocks on training wheels. So high-yield bonds can get hit during a bear market or even just a regular run-of-the-mill correction, but generally not as much as the overall stock market. Now, the high-yield bond market, let me expand on that a little bit, had a rough second half of the year last year because a lot of high-yield bonds have been issued by energy companies. The energy companies have been the place to be, the exception of the last 12 to 18 months, the last 5 years or so. With all of the innovations and findings in the energy sector, that has been a huge growth area for our economy. Well, as these companies have grown and gotten bigger, they've been issuing more bonds to try to raise more money. A lot of these companies are not as financially stable as companies like Exxon and Chevron, so they've been issuing bonds in the high-yield market. The price of energy has been coming down over the last 12 months. This has put pressure on their profits at these companies. But you have a lot of energy companies that are out there that, you know, they can really only be profitable if the price of energy goes up so they can make more money. So the fear in the marketplace has been if energy prices stay low for too long, a lot of energy companies in serious financial trouble, perhaps even go out of business, which has been putting pressure on the high-yield market, particularly last year. So far this year, with the market down around 6%, we've seen high-yield bonds come under some pressure, but nothing like what we saw last year. So for some of you that are taking income, and I know, Jim, you're one of them, high-yield is still an area that we need to have some exposure in because they do pay a nice high level of interest, not quite as much as we have had previously because of just the underlying risk associated with it. But high yield bonds generally don't go down as much, generally, as much as equities in a down market. Jim, hopefully that answered your question.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Got it. What other questions do we have out there? Anything at all? Anything about the market, the economy, accounts, anything we're doing here, anything we're not doing here?
Jonathan, if you do become more conservative, what kind of investments will you go to?
That's another very good question, and I'm glad you asked that. As painful and as uncomfortable it is to hold cash, because it's not really paying anything, that has been an area where we've put some money. A lot of you on the phone that are not taking income, okay, the ones that are not taking income, that have accounts at TD Ameritrade, you're holding a good amount of cash. You're holding anywhere from 20 to 30% in cash. The reason being is the alternative to that is we can buy some bonds. Well, you know, there's a fair amount of uncertainty in the bond market, too. So what I didn't want to do was to get more defensive and then put all the proceeds into some kind of bond instrument to only see that go down a few percent. Now, if we were to buy some more bonds, it wouldn't be in something that has a tremendous amount of risk exposure. Like back in 08, some bonds got hit really hard. We go into something that would have – everything has some risk in it. So if we bought some bonds or bond funds, back in August and September, I preferred to put a lot of those proceeds to cash as opposed to bonds, thinking, all right, if interest rates go up, the high-yield market gets hit really bad, I'd rather not see our bonds go down 5, 6% with the potential to only make 2 or 3. The risk-reward just wasn't there as far as I'm concerned. So what we're looking at going forward, and because we're already holding a good amount of cash, if we were to sell just another 10 or 15%, what I'm looking at right now is either adding some or a portion of that to your current cash position, or a little bit of that, the conservative bond funds that are already owned, such as a double line total return or a PIMCO, both of which are slightly up year to date. And we're only, what, in the week of January? Okay, so that's kind of my feeling. So I've been very, I'm very diligent about reminding our clients that it is somewhat deliberate as to why we're holding a lot of cash. Because the alternative is not all that attractive either. Of course, if the market goes down, we're going to be very happy that we have sitting there, which, at least for the last 3 weeks or so, has been beneficial. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah.
Good. What other questions do we have? Okay, I'm going to add one more tidbit here in relation to the allocation, since we've had a few great questions about that. For those of you that are taking income every month, you're going to see that you don't really hold a lot of cash. Well, what does that mean? If I'm sitting here telling everybody else that we've gotten more conservative or hold a lot of cash, what am I doing? What are we doing for all you guys that are taking income? What we did was when we got more conservative a few months ago, instead of selling a whole bunch of stuff and stick it in cash, knowing that you need income, what we did instead was we sold one position and we bought what's called an inverse fund, where it acts the opposite of the S&P 500. So that permitted us to maintain a lot of the dividend-paying investments. For those of you that are receiving income, it permitted you to continue receiving virtually all of that income you've grown accustomed to, and without getting overly defensive and pulling back your income, we bought an inverse fund. So when the S&P 500 is now down almost 6% for the year, that fund is up almost 6% for the year. So our clients that are drawing income, you're drawing your income. You're holding very little bit of cash. Your accounts year-to-date are only down about 1%. And a large reason for that is the inverse fund that we bought last year. Now, of course, the opposite will hold true, by the way. market rallies on us, that inverse fund is going to go down in value. But we did that strictly to protect the portfolio from volatility while still allowing you to receive your income. Okay, what other questions do we have? Give it another couple seconds or so. Okay, for those of you that are on the call, if you do have any questions, you know our door is always open, so don't hesitate to call or email any of us here. If you know people that would benefit from this call or this information or the services that we offer, we're always happy to help in any way that we can. This call, as I mentioned before, is being recorded, and it will be on our website probably within the next 24 hours or so. And with that, we're going to go ahead and stop the call and thank everybody again for your trust and your loyalty, and we'll continue to do everything we can to help you guys reach all of your goals and objectives. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Jonathan.